Good day to you.
Good day.
Happy almost New Year's Eve.
Yes, the year is almost over.
That's one way to look at it. And a new year has almost begun. Okay, so are you feeling relieved to get this year behind you? What has this year felt like? Obviously, there's been some hard stuff. What are your feelings about the end of 21?
I don't know. I feel like I'm still holding my breath a little bit, you know? Like, it just feels like, well, we'll just see what happens in 2022. The
All
last
right.
couple of years have just kind of been like, I don't know. They just feel like they've been blurred together a little bit. And I'm not really ready to jump on any train that's like, this is the year that we, you know, get some things figured out, or that we get answers to a global pandemic. And I don't know, you know, there's just sometimes there's like so much hope and hope for change in yourself and in the world and in your town and all these things that maybe you can wrap up into going into a new year. And I don't think it's wrong to want to still be a part of that, but I also don't want to like put all my eggs in that basket.
Right. I think that's why I wanted to talk and extend past Christmas with the holiday talks, because there is, I think, a naivete, is that the word, when you're
Yeah.
young, that it's like, okay, let's make our New Year's resolutions, let's make our goals. That might have been like more of a 90s and early 2000s thing. Maybe
I
it's
don't
just
know.
getting
Yeah.
older, and I think it's good. But I think for where we are in my stage of life, I don't want to speak for you, but it is just like, if that is handled wrong, you can just set yourself up for failure, disappointment, disillusionment, and trying to take on new year, new me, and like, instead of dividing things up into bite-sized rhythms. And you can just be so disappointed so quickly, and like just drowning in shame of like, why aren't things different? Why aren't things better? But there is an ache this time of year for some reflection and for some structure to return after all the holidays. So there has to be a balance structure. You, I think at the end of 2019, when everyone was like, the 20s belong to us. So much hope.
I
Oh my
know.
goodness. And now,
2020 vision. It's all going to be so much better. Yeah.
And then everyone now is just basically like screaming into their pillows and shaking and crying and like, like, oh, we're afraid of a new year. So,
Yeah. It could
yeah,
get a
like,
lot worse or it could get better. I don't know. So just stay buckled up. That's what I'm going to stay buckled up.
Right. So that's what I've been thinking about a ton, is like remaining hopeful, like letting pain and discomfort. I actually really don't like being like, I used to be like, yep, well, I'll learn from this and this is going to make me better. And sometimes pain is pain and sucky things suck. But I do notice like hard things kind of being a companion and adding depth to my story and to my life in a way that I really do appreciate, that I used to not.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of both and a lot of things displaced and deconstructed right now that could be viewed as exciting and can also be viewed as like, yeah, you're just waiting for like what in the fresh hell is gonna be out there the next year for us. So yeah, there's a lot of both for me. Would you say that's true for you?
I would, but I like your also perspective of being reflective this time of year, because we've talked about this just yesterday, like in a hopeful way, without setting all of these crazy goals upon ourselves, knowing no matter what happens, we're not going to be the same people that we were right now. We'll be next year. You know, next year we're going to be different people. Because I know this time last year, you know, yes, I was Amanda, but a lot's changed and a lot's happened. And I feel like that girl's grown in ways. And so that does make me excited too for what's coming for this year, and kind of sitting and thinking about that and being reflective in these next few days before the new year.
Yeah, that was one of the best things, the best sentences you've said to me. And it hit just right when you told me yesterday, like, next year at this time, this won't be the same, you know, like things will be different. And like, that is good news, and it's exciting news, and it can be fearful at the same time. But also, like, don't you feel like the older you get, the more you grow? But I'm almost growing backwards. So I'm becoming more integrated, which means I'm reminding myself a lot of who I was originally meant to be. Yeah. So like these things about me that were the way I was born are coming to the surface more and more. And yeah, that's like nothing to do with New Year's, but I like it. I'm just being like, yes, please, the more childlike wonderment and curiosity and all of those things. I want, no matter what the circumstances of our world are within the next year, I do want that to keep growing. So like, I guess growing in maturity, but also like reaching forward for like curiosity and wonder in a little bit of like my childhood self.
Yeah. Like growing can look like shedding things that aren't authentic to you, and growing can look like, going back to what you were as a child or remembering those things before. You know, I have a teenager now, and I just see him putting on things that I'm like, that's not really you. Because I feel like I've known you your whole life, and I see you putting on things that I know aren't really you. But I know that I'd had to do that too. We all have to walk that, where we put on these things and try on these things that aren't really us. And then after a while, we get to realize we have the permission to shed those things. And it is like a going backwards in a way, but like a stripping back and a shedding of something that maybe was squeezing the life out of you.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that funny how you almost feel, and especially I know my only experience is like growing up in a saturated faith community where there's a lot of good things about it, but also you definitely, I found myself trying other people's stories on for size, other people's callings on for size, other people's personality and mannerisms even, because it's like, oh my gosh, that girl is just such a Proverbs 31. What a gentle tone she has in her voice. You just realize like, that's not me, and it's just never going to be. I hope God still likes me. And and so I've been going backwards so much and just having all the compassion I can for that kid, you know, who's at your son's age, trying to be like, okay, what should I be? Just being like, oh girl, you were so good, like you had everything you needed, and that's okay, you know, just like realizing that that's how, that's sometimes you just gotta strip some of those things away.
Yeah. And even the things that maybe we were like put upon ourselves as a way to like rebel and push against the ways that we were raised, you know what I mean? Like,
so much,
I know there's things that I took on as like my identity because I so didn't want to be, I just wanted to be different. I had to be different, but I wanted, didn't want to be, you know, I was raised in a very, very intense faith community too. And there's beautiful things about that story. And then there's really hard things about that story too. But like, I don't know, being able to like give myself permission to be like, hey, it's okay if you like cooking now. It doesn't mean that like you're a submissive wife or whatever that you were pushing against. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it's okay that you like knowing how to create certain things and make them beautiful, or care about how your home looks, or things like that, that, like, for me, I, like, pushed so hard against and was like, I refuse to learn how to cook. I refuse to learn how to do certain things. And it was just like, really, you're just hindering yourself, because that's a form of creativity and art, you know?
Right. The only person who's suffering is you.
Well, it's you and now your family, but and I'm glad that I'm waking up to that. Like, I actually really like this. This is fun for me to learn how to do these things.
Right. Right. So I guess that leads me into what I wanted to talk to you about. I also have to say that my kids are home. So if you hear me snapping and being distracted, that's just because all my kids are here.
Mine are in the other room. And so the echo you're hearing is the bathroom.
Okay.
It's the quietest room in my house.
I'm in my good old laundry room. So also my earbuds may die. And if they do, I'll just call you back and we'll keep going.
Okay.
All right. So having put all our high-tech professionalism behind us, what I want to talk to you about is where you are finding holiness in church. And, like, I'm not talking about the body of Christ and all the things that, we are a part of or want to be a part of. But, like, this year with the pandemic alone, and there's just been so much displacement and homelessness in what church looks like. And we've been talking a lot about, I guess, making mental notes when we are getting back to ourselves and giving ourselves permission to feel like, I loved that. That was beautiful. And we keep saying to each other, that was church. That was church, you know, and it's not necessarily going to a church service. It's usually something that was just so holy and crafted just for us that it feels like a special form of church. So you had mentioned yesterday, like, maybe for New Year's we could list a few ways that we've been taken to church this year without going to church. So tell me, what's on your took me to church list?
Oh my gosh, when I think about it, I have a few on the top of my head, and we'll see as I keep talking what comes up. But what's taken me to church this year was seeing Hamilton and you know, sitting and listening to beautiful music and a story being crafted in such a unique and interesting way, and just that whole experience and being so immersed in that kind of art and creativity. Church has looked like sitting all by myself on the ski lift, because we have this old rickety ski lift that takes us to the top of our little mountain at Anthony Lakes Ski Resort. And on a not windy day, you can sit by yourself. And I love that so much, because it is like, I don't know, maybe a 12-minute ride to the top, and it is so quiet. And I will just sit there and relax with the whole bench all to myself, and you're not, you know, you're totally exposed to everything, like the wind and the snow, and then you just get to, like, take in the sun and the clouds and the snow falling, or the trees that are just thick with snow. And that is like a holy moment for me, as I just, like, have nothing to do but just to sit and take it all in. And I love praying there, and or just being silent and meditating, and that's been church to me. Going up into the woods and being on the trails with my kids and running on, like, dusty trails in the summer, or finding wildflowers in the spring. And then even just last night, right as the sun was setting, the kids and I walked up to the college, and we were sledding, and we were just belly laughing and belly laughing over everyone wrecking on this hill that we were sledding down at the college. And then when we walked home, the sunset right behind Mount Emily was, I mean, Mount Emily was frozen white. And then the sunset was just like vivid pink and blue. And it just felt like holy, like a holy moment, you know, to just everyone stop, everyone just look at this and soak it in. So those have been church moments for me.
Oh my gosh. I love everything you just said. I felt like it was there. I have a few of the same. You and I have experienced a lot of beauty this year. Intentionally. I think we just knew, like, okay, as soon as it's safe and we can, we're going to put ourselves in the way of some beauty. Like, now is the time. We need it. We got to take it in, especially because it's what we want to, like, put out and invite other people to with the Sela. So when we went to Tennessee and listened to such beautiful music on the river. This is such a strange experience I had, but I found that the church chased me down, because when I went under for surgery and had our baby and I kept drifting in and out, I kept hearing this beautiful song, this beautiful music, these harmonies, and it just brought me comfort. Every time I would dream this song, and so all the music was special at the festival, but we walked over and saw this band, and it was 100% the, like, song I kept hearing in my dream, which is so weird to say. It sounds so woo-woo, but I was just, like, tears, like, rolling off face. Just, like, it was the most beautiful music. It was such a good band, but it was so strange. Like, I know this song, and I've dreamed this music over and over. So the only thing I can, like, think of, the only purpose, it's like, God, I love that he's so impractical, and he's just like, hey, I'm going to make some music for you, and then I'm going to let you keep hearing it. And he just, like, he's not all business. He loves giving us things like that are so pretty to hang on to. Church has also found me a little bit the same as your ski lift experience. When I get out in the middle of the lake, especially Wallowa Lake, on my paddleboard, it's not my paddleboard, I borrow yours. I'm too cheap to buy one, but my friends have. So. I either take one of my kids, or I go by myself, or I've paddled out with you or Jess, and it's like this feeling of, like, absolute beauty, absolute loss of control, and, like, no one could get to me if they wanted to, and I can't get to anyone. Like, I'm stuck out here, and it's like the only truly quiet moment, you know, that you can grab, and you just, like, get your breath taken away. And at the spring Sela, Jessica and I paddled out in both of our, one of us had a kayak, one of us had a paddle board. And we got out to the middle of the lake, and it was the same thing. Like, we both just had so many tears in our eyes, and were like, I love you so much. Like, we get to do life with this, like, these, like, friends and people that are taking in beauty beside us. And it felt, I don't know, it's very sentimental, but something about being in the middle of the lake and near water just does it to me every time, almost. So
And you can't take those moments where God just pulls you up short, you know, and you can't be distracted by anything.
I've been bewitched and besotted by my baby, and I'm in this strange crossover between feeling like a first-time mom, because it's been a long time, and feeling like his grandma, because I'm so old. And I didn't do a lot of the new momish stuff with him because I was so out of it and stuff. So Cody did a lot of that, you know, and I have memories of him, but I didn't spend a lot of time with him like I did my other kids. And then when he came home, I was just in survival mode. So it's like we're both waking up, and he's always... he's a happy guy, but he prefers his dad, you know. And lately we've just been like, oh my gosh, I love you, both of us.
And the way he looks at you, it's like, how did you get so lucky to have somebody look at you like that, you know?
I know, and it's just, I don't deserve it, because I didn't want to have another baby, you know. And I And I feel bad for that all the time, but I didn't. And I just felt like I'm too old and my life is just going to go backwards. And how could I have let this happen? And then when he was born, I desperately, of course, wanted him to be healthy, but I couldn't afford to connect or bond. Like I just kind of survived it, you know? And so the fact that he's just so sweet, he's like a bottomless well of love
Oh, yeah.
and happiness, and I feel just completely just bewitched by him, and I'm really enjoying him. And it's been a long time, you know, since our third was born. I just was like, I'm good. I don't really love holding babies anymore. I don't like and I've had my fill of tiny babies. I like big kids, and my big kids have been so fun this year, and this Christmas with them was sweet. But man, this baby is just melting me every which direction and making me a puddle. And I think I needed that. And I think hopefully having an old crusty mom is just what he needs too. So we'll see.
Oh, I think so. But also, like, that's what we've been talking about too, and reading through with our Advent stories. Like, that's the way God works. He gives us the gifts that we didn't think we needed and then that we didn't really want. And they end up being the best gifts, you know?
It's 100% how I keep feeling, just like, and you know, when you're sort of waking up after that first year of babyhood anyways, it's like you
Oh,
kind of start returning to yourself and you're like, oh man, like I just really love you and I don't deserve you, and you
yeah.
just kind of soak each other up. And I feel like he's just almost like a wise old soul because he's been through so much, and
He has, he's tough,
we've
but
been through
yeah.
it together. So I don't know. He may not be a healthy functioning member of society because he's going to be so spoiled. But
He's gonna be
man,
in your front pack forever.
yes, exactly. But I just am enjoying him so much. I just really like him. So, announcement, podcast community, I do like my baby. That's good to
Get there, though. I mean, we have not walked the road that you have walked, but I remember feeling like as my kids hit like maybe 4 or 5 months, like, oh, hey, I love you. You know,
Yes.
like they kind of unfold more, and he's been through, you know, so much more. So it's taken a long time, but you know, they like unfold and they gain weight and get all chubby, and you're all of a sudden out of that mode of just like, we're just surviving through this like endless cycle. And then, I mean, you love your baby, but then it's like you love them so much. You're obsessed with them. Yeah.
Yep, and I feel I heard someone say this last night. Did you listen to that podcast I sent you?
I did. So
Okay.
good.
Well, later we'll talk about our thoughts on it, but I heard her say something that I resonated with, which was like, I'm more me than I've ever been, just an integrated version of myself. And that's rough. I mean, it's real rough, but it's such a relief. And just to kind of soak in these gifts and these, and know the things that make me tick and the things that I think are beautiful and special, and that I know are just for me. I don't think there's anything like it. And I can't afford to go back and fragment myself in a million different ways to please other people.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So, do you have any other thoughts before I kind of wanted to close out with, a non-quantifiable New Year's wish that's not like a fitness goal or financial goal, but just like hopefully something we could speak over ourselves.
Yeah, like our not a resolution, but something that we're like, as we are moving forward as whole bodied and soul people that are just trying to be more integrated, here's something that I'm gonna stop doing or that I'm gonna try to do more of.
Yeah.
Well, okay, before we get to that, I've been listening to the Dragons album by Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors today because it's just such good storytelling, and I love the Dragons album. But I thought I would read the song Dragons, the lyrics, because it's about New Year's. Are you okay with
Yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. I was climbing a mountain, asleep in the moonlight. Ghost of my grandpa came to me in a dream. Because the stars hung above us, he started singing this chorus, laughed loud as hell, and said this to me. Take a few chances, a few worthy romances, go swimming in the ocean on New Year's Day. Don't listen to the critics, stand up and bear witness, go slay all the dragons that stand in your way. We stayed up and talked till the sunrise of war and love and sorrow. He said, stop spending all your money on forgiveness of sins. Today is all you're promised. Don't trouble with tomorrow. He faded in the forest, proudly singing this hymn. Take a few chances, a few worthy romances, go swimming in the ocean on New Year's Day. Don't listen to the critics, stand up and bear witness. Go slay all the dragons that stand in your way. And I woke up in a fever, surrounded by lightning. All my windows were open. And I let the rain flood in. The past felt like the present, the future uncertain, but I sang like a sparrow lost in the wind. Take a few chances, a few worthy romances. Go swimming in the ocean on New Year's Day. Don't listen to the critics. Stand up and bear witness. Go slay all the dragons that stand in your way.
That makes my heart grow like 10 sizes. It makes me want to cry my eyes out.
And it makes you want to be brave too.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Every word of that's beautiful. Also, do you want to go swimming in the ocean on Saturday?
Yeah, if it's like Kauai.
Yeah, I was going to
Or we
say,
could
like,
be crazy and go jump in at a lake somewhere. And as long as there was a hot towel and a hot drink afterwards, I'm down.
and a hot tub, obviously. I'm not combining the hot tub. I actually like swimming in really cold lakes. It's painful at first, but then I get this like special form of hypothermia that it's almost euphoric for a little bit.
For a little bit until it's not, but
Till it's not,
yes.
and you're like, I need that drink and that hot tub right now.
Yeah. No, there is something that just like shakes you awake. Remember that early spring that we all jumped in super early in the morning to like Lake McCall? That was
Yes.
fun and it woke us up. But then by the time we had to walk back to our cabin, I was like, I think my teeth are gonna fall out of my head. I'm shaking so
Oh, I
bad.
know. Yeah, the all of it. The frigid cold, the chafing, it was bad, but it was worth it for the few moments of love and light that we experienced.
Yeah.
That's a perfect thing. I read a couple poems and a couple song lyrics to do with New Year's to maybe share today, and I liked them last year, and this year they rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, that's corny, that's cheesy. Yeah, right, that's never gonna happen.
Yeah,
So I'm really happy that you read that, and I'm gonna play it tonight. Oh, I love that. That's
Yeah.
an anthem. That is an anthem. All right, well, I wrote down these few thoughts I've been just dancing with for a while in my head. And I dug it out because it's not a New Year's resolution. Yeah, but it's not, but it's I guess just what I deeply desire for myself. And when I think about what I would really want my legacy and my other people to feel around me that are in contact with me or that come to the Sela or when they're listening to this podcast, this is what I want. And this is what I want for my kids and for my friends and for my husband. So I want everyone around me and myself, I want them to feel invited without pressure. I want them to feel like they belong without obligation. I want them to feel like they're needed for who they are, not what they can do for me or what I can do for them. And those are just three thoughts, but I am reminded over and over again, like, this is how you treat people because this is how I deeply desire to be
treated or how to feel inside.
Wow, I love that. That is good. Preach.
Oh, I will.
I love that. No, that is good. That makes me think of too, like Emily P. Freeman talks about this, but what if you walked into every room this next year, or you just at least thought about it in a different context as you did walk into every room that you entered, instead of thinking like, here I am, what does everybody think about me? Like walking into each room being like, there you are, welcome. And that just reminds me of what you're saying. Like, what if I could walk into the room and just say, there you are, welcome to whoever was in front of me.
Have you subscribed to the Creative Selah newsletter yet? If not, now is the perfect time. Amanda and I have been working on getting our hands on every single thing that has to do with beauty and light that we can find, and we are compiling it all into small newsletters that will go out every single week through the whole Advent season. So that's recipes, photography, music, poems, devotionals. It'll be like a treasure hunt. We want you guys to join us. So go to our Instagram, Creative Selah Instagram, and you can click on the link in the bio to sign up for our newsletter. And you can also just go to amandalu.substack.com.
Well, there's just some things that I've been thinking about that, like, maybe the narrative that I've always told myself. So this is just a really simple thing that I was like, you know what? I want to stop doing this. And I wanted to stop doing it before New Year's. But anyway, now that we're talking about New Year's, it'll just be not a resolution, but something that's like moving forward. I've always told myself, I'm really bad with names. And I tell that to people when I introduce myself to them. Like, I probably won't remember your name. I'm really bad at names. And moving forward, I'm like, why do I keep telling myself that? Why don't I just try and remember people's names, or try and make an effort instead of like, this is just who I am, and be dismissive towards people instead of like, I'd rather move forward in this year in trying to look for community and trying to look for friendship and ways to love my neighborhood and ways to love my town I live in by being not rude and dismissive to people when I find out what their name is by telling them, I'm not good at this. So I'm probably not going to remember who you are. So that's something I want to stop doing this year.
That's the same vibe, you know, is what I was saying. It's just making people feel seen and remembered and worth, you know, just remembering. And isn't it funny the things we sort of like pronounce over ourselves? Like, yeah, I am this, and this is my label, and I guess I sort of hand labels to our kids too, so I don't know where it begins, but yeah, there's things about myself that I've always just said that you're like, that doesn't have to be who I am. It's not like it's not optional. I can start trying, but it also can be with the name thing. I am at times professionally aloof when inside I'm just like, oh my gosh, I like them so much and I want them to be my friend. Like, you can just put up a wall and be like, oh, I couldn't care less, I've got many things going on.
Very busy and very important.
I can barely remember your name. I like that though. That's a really simple, bite-sized, sweet thing to work towards. So is it dumping snow? It has been dumping snow for 2 days. Yes.
Oh, it is coming down thick, and it just looks like frosting outside. I love it. Every day we have been sledding and playing out in the snow, and it has been really fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. The kids have spent most of their day out there, and it's really nice, and it's not windy or even overly cold. It's just falling heavy. So our neighborhood feels really quiet, except for all the kids out. It's pretty fun. What are your plans for New Year's Eve?
We're gonna have a few people over, and our kids are gonna have some like friends over, and we're just gonna play games, and everyone's bringing like whatever kind of snack or drink they want to share. So it's just gonna be kind of small, but we're gonna have some friends over, and then we're gonna get up early the next day and hit the ski hill. So
Oh,
that's
I
our
love it.
plan. Yeah.
That's so fun. We are doing our Christmas with our grandparents and aunts and uncles from here in Boise on New Year's Day.
Fun.
And yeah, New Year's Eve, I don't know what our plans are.
You're invited, but I know you don't want to hit the road. Wade actually just told me this morning. He's like, "Did we not invite Lou and Cody?" I'm like, "I don't think they want to rush back, but I will tell them." So now
That's
you
what I
know.
was driving at. I was
So
just hinting at. I can
what's going
I can start a whole podcast to see if I could get invited.
I'm hoping for an East Coast New Year's where like everyone knows that 9 o'clock it's midnight, so go home.
Yeah.
Go home.
I just saw a meme that was like, if I'm up on New at midnight at New Year's, it's because I'm going to the bathroom and not going and going back to bed.
Or you're just gonna be bound and determined to finish that puzzle, you and Cody.
Oh my gosh, I'm like sleepless. I'm sleepless. And I told you yesterday, but I've been just staying up so late, but I also have a really amazing book I've been listening to and I finished it today and I feel like all of my life is without purpose right now because I
Isn't that depressing? It's like
yeah.
so good and depressing all at the same time.
Such a bummer. Yeah, I was like, wow, now what do I do?
Well, what'd you
It's like
finish? What's the book?
it's called Giver of Stars. It's based on true events about I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt did this initiative after the Depression to get like people reading in the mountains of like Kentucky. And so she paid women $28 a month to take mules and pack horses with all these books that were donated from all around the country up into the hills, up into the mountains and start it was called like a pack horse library and which by the way, I'm so mad because I feel like I missed my calling in life. Like that's my dream
I
car.
know, like
So
I want to be a part of that.
I know. So they got all these people that were like total shutoffs from society and did not want anyone coming on their property. They got them like reading and addicted to stories. And they would like leave the books they'd finished out on in a crate, like out by their fence. And they would leave them new ones. They would like have magazines read until they were in shreds, and then this lady would like sew them onto fabric, like recipes and pictures, and make new magazines out of them. And so
I want to read it now.
it's
That's
good. I
amazing.
thought about you. I was so into it. There's a little suspense, a little sadness, a little romance. It can be cheesy in some places. It's a little steamy, so don't read it out loud to your daughter, but I think it was so good. Loved it.
Fun.
I was just so into it yesterday night when I was putting together my puzzle and eating chips and salsa, and I accidentally ate a puzzle piece because I was so I had to dry it out and tape it together, and that's where I'm at in life right now.
Thriving.
Doing really well. So this puzzle has to get finished so I can move on with my life.
Are you listening on the audio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just was like, I'll download this. It's been recommended to me. And that way I'll have something to do
Chip
while
is
I'm like,
real stale. I'm just gonna keep chewing.
I just kept doing it, not thinking like stop. But yeah, I downloaded it on Audible because I really wanted to have something to listen to while I did this puzzle, but I have been staying up so late working on this puzzle.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Those are kind of the best, though. Like, I don't know. I've been listening to North and South by Elizabeth Gaskell, and that is a
Oh, that's good.
great classic, such good romance. It's really good. So yeah, I've been basically walking around with like one of my earbuds in so I can hear my kids, and then whenever they talk to me, being like, shh.
There's something really cool going on in my life right now.
I am really into this story based in England.
I love that. I love that book. You got it for me a long time ago, I think. Or the movie. I can't remember.
I really got you. The BBC series is really good as well. But read the book and then watch the BBC series.
That's what you got.
Four episodes, but it's so good.
Yep. Okay. We have to leave on a food note. Is there a New Year's Eve drink or food that is a staple for you guys?
It's not my staple, but I feel like Wade loves New Year's Eve. He just comes alive and he loves having people over and he loves playing games and he loves making chips and dip. And
I was going to say, always... Is it the dip?
Yes.
Because that's my
it's like dip. His French onion mm-hmm. dip with like the wrinkly Ruffles chips that mm-hmm. I am not excited about. And then I can't get my head out of that. That bowl whenever he makes that, I'm like, gross, that is disgusting. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't stop.
Wade's like, I'll have to make it because you do eat most of it every year.
I made my grandma's this week because it was New Year's and the holidays. I made her Swedish chili this week, and that is a staple for us for mm-hmm. Christmas time, so it's real good.
That's sweet. Yeah, last year we had that pear champagne, and I'm not a champagne or a fruit drink person, but I did like it. It was very light, and it felt festive, and it made me feel fancy and not just gross. So I'm just going to have it again, maybe.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to sound like a 62-year-old man, but I just love a good short rib on New Year's Eve. So that's my
Well, that's great. Ribs short. And little champagne and little puzzling. Nothing too crazy.
Just champagne. I know. I love champagne. Or not champagne. Sorry. Short ribs. Like potato and good sauce with, you know, like some bourbon in there somewhere. And I feel like my best self.
Yeah, you're Ron Swanson. He's your spirit animal.
The more I become older, the more true that is. And I'm like, oh, am I my dad? I look at Cody sometimes and I'm like, you're married to an old mountain man. Sorry.
Well, obviously he's pretty happy. He needs to get you the red polo. And then you can... Then you can be totally.
I just wear it on special days, special nights. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I love you. Happy New Year's. And I may just show up to your party.
Do it with your ribs.
I know. All right. Well, yes, let's get together. Let's talk. Let's make some plans over Lent. And let's keep the food talking going too. Talk some feasting through the spring.
Food and feasting.
Yeah. All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.